on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We are happy to be back.
We are glad.
We went to a quick commercial break.
Can I say this real quick?
Go ahead.
The guy that texts us in about Baker Mayfield, you call the show right now. 81.50.
You're not going to let this slide.
93.9. You know who you are. Whoever texted in about Baker Mayfield just now, call the show immediately. We want to talk to you. I've got to have a conversation with this guy.
Fair enough.
This is fair. I'm going to leave it at that. You call in. Let Brian know it's you. We'll kick you to the front. We'll talk.
Okay. So here's the problem, people. Steve Rummage and I have a brewing rift going on. Steve Rummage's jokes are cutting a little deep now. You just moved Darius Perry and Jordan Wara over all-time greats with their opener against George Mason. It doesn't matter that I set the record for freshman debut points. Doesn't matter about anything like that.
Nope.
All that matters to Steve is he was nervous.
Anybody can get 22 in a blowout.
Oh, it wasn't a blowout.
Well, it should have been.
And does five dunks make it a better performance as a freshman?
Yeah.
If a freshman two-guard came in and dunked five times in the game, would that make a difference?
Yeah. I think.
Well, a freshman in an opener dunks five times, Steve. Do you immediately put them in the all-time greats and has 22 points?
No, I mean, I want to see a Jordan Nwora hitting three threes coming down the stretch.
In the clutch.
I want to see Darius Perry doing his thing, you know. I mean,
even though I told you Darius Perry was a monster, an absolute animal, we actually had to have that conversation too. Like, okay, you get Jordan, I get Darius.
Yeah, because I was big on Nwora, and you were calling Darius really early,
long time ago. Yeah. Okay. So now let's get back to the beef situation.
Okay.
Now, Steve, you hurt my feelings on the tweet, but it got some tweets, it got some likes, it got us some good Twitter traffic, right?
Right.
So I'm gonna let it slide because I put the team in front of my personal feelings.
That's fair.
But my personal feelings were involved with that one. So right. Now let's go forward.
Yeah.
By going back. People, here's a huge problem. We have worked damn hard to come up in this radio game. We work hard to become respected members of the media. We work hard to, we put a lot of things aside just so we can make sure we're at these games on time and taking, you know, and showing our appreciation for our positions, right? Steve, you arrived at the football game 15 to 20 minutes before me, right?
Right.
We have a section in the suite at the football game, right?
Right.
People, I'm going to be completely prejudiced at this point. Yes, Marcus Maben, Mr. We Are the World, is about to get completely prejudiced. And I want you to tell somebody what I just said. I officially hate everything Virginia. University of Virginia. And listen, you tell them I said it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know what you're thinking. I don't even care at this point.
Right.
It's whatever. Everything that reeks of Virginia Cavalier, I hate and it disgusts me. And Steve, you're going to take some blame on this one.
Okay.
Steve Rummage is at our meeting place in the media suites, people, at the football game. I get to the football game. I get my traditional plate of food. Great food, by the way. The beef stew and the pulled pork loin and the macaroni and cheese. The food and the spread was perfect.
Yeah.
I get my plate. I get, you know, you have the chef there. He cuts up, you
He's
know.
He's awesome.
Too. Yeah, the chef gets you together. Yeah. We had the applesauce to go with the loin. Everything's perfect. I come over to my seat only to find three young punk little bubbly Virginia girls, right? Sitting in my seat, sitting in Steve Rummage's seat. They got their trash. They got their camera equipment. These little intern Virginia lung punks are sitting in our seats, right? So people, I go up and nicely say, I hope there's room for me in my seat. A little snarky. I get it.
It's fair.
I hope it's room for me in my seat right there. You know what that means. That means get up out my spot. You know what I'm saying? People, this little bubbly Virginia girl looks at me, looks at the card and says, what's your name? What? Excuse me? She looks at people. Imagine, like, I'll use your Mike, Oklahoma State Mike, not Gundy. What's his name? Is it Gundy?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State. I'm not 40, but I'm a man.
Right.
And I'm too grown for some little punk Virginia, bubbly little girl. What's your name? My name is the name that you're reading right on that damn card in front of you. You know it ain't your name, right? So, Steve, everything inside of me is brewing, and then I look at you, and I see you're sitting in the next row over. And I'm like, Steve, did you just let them bully you out of our spots?
It's different. I was
talking. As we worked to earn these spots, Steve Rummage let these few Virginia ladies just bully him straight out of our seats. And they asked me what's my name, like checking my ID. And then I say, yeah, that's me on the card right there. And you know what they did? Oh, sorry. The guys whose stuff is here, he's not here right now. People, if I wasn't such a gentleman, I would have went up and just slid. I should have just slid all that camera equipment, all their paperwork. I should have just knocked it all on the floor.
Yeah.
I should have just slid it all the way down. And Steve, you're right there and you didn't do anything.
I was over there talking to Kelly Dickey. I wasn't involved
in
that.
You knew they were in our seat.
Well, what did you now, want me to do? Now, excuse me, ladies. Marcus Maven's about to come and you need to get out the seat. I mean,
am I saying something inappropriate?
Because
here?
when it was to time expect, for me to sit
expect
down,
to expect my co-host, people, Steve Rummage waited until they went to go get a drink of water and then snuck back into the spot. Like the most anti-confrontational moment you ever seen in history. He snuck in back to his own seat and he did not have my spot cleared out. As hard as I work to make sure he has a position next to me every door I get into. Fair or foul on Steve Rummage? Or is it my fault? Am I the one
Let's not take the heat off who the heat should be on, and that was the girls. Because then the one girl came back up at halftime, and she was like,
I don't have anywhere to sit.
I was like, well, that's because you don't have a seat here. Because
Missy?
Because you're an intern. You're supposed to be down there on the field.
People, this Virginia intern, young lady... You know where she decided that she was going to sit down? Like, this is people, I couldn't make this up. This Virginia intern sat in the middle of the steps, on the steps that everyone goes up and down to go into the media area, to go out on the deck. I'm talking about the most traveled couple of steps in the entire upstairs. Is that fair
That's
to say?
Fair, yeah.
She sat in the middle of the steps. I mean, completely like, and we're talking about, I mean, she's obviously in shape, you know, young, like no issues. Like if you were somebody that was having shortness of breath or something, I would say, hey, you know, you're all right. You know, you're sitting in the middle of the aisle that everybody is using to go up and down the steps. Are you crazy? Is that what people from Virginia think of who go to Virginia, the University of Virginia? Is that what they do? Do they think that's okay?
Apparently so. I don't know. I mean, because that seemed like it was normal practice.
People,
so.
It was, and that's the problem, Steve.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Listen, I don't know much about the culture, but I hear the jokes all the time, right? And you know what I always said? Well, man, I almost went to Virginia, so I'm going to take a lot. You know, basically, anybody who recruits me, I give them as much of a pass as humanly possible.
Right, that's fair.
I'm all in. That incident told me I'm all in with the Virginia, because it was three of them at first. Yeah. And they all had the exact same attitude, like checking my ID in Papa John's Cardinal Stadium and sitting in the middle of the aisleway because you don't have a place to sit inside and you got a triple fat goose parka on. I'm sorry. Are there any other amenities that we can provide for you while you're in your short, crappy stay in Louisville?
Yeah. No, I know. And the one of them wasn't even she wasn't even a Virginia fan. She was pulling for Virginia Tech watching the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, what in the world, dude? It'd be like, hey, welcome to Middays with Marcus Maben. Tonight we're going to discuss yesterday's 73-69 4-point close win against Vermont here on the Kentucky Sports Network.
She's in there. They're in there cheering, which is another.
The only one by four.
Thing you don't do inside.
What? What? What?
People, imagine if you were just on a rant and somebody threw out in the middle of your rant, the only one by four. What you just heard, people, just to be clear, this is like the subliminal, like this is the thing we fear the most as humanity. We fear that when we're watching TV and you have like, it's almost like the Men in Black flash. You know how to get everybody's attention before they flash the little thingy and you get everybody's attention. I reel them in with my story. And then you say, the only one by four.
Now that you're all listening, let me bring this up.
Now that you're all listening, they only one by four, Steve. Okay, just say something. Add something to that. I'm not going to let you just leave that one out there and let it smoke like that.
They don't look all that good. What do you want me to say?
And it's wonderful that everybody knows like exactly what we're talking about.
Somebody told you in early July, late June, when I said, they're not going to be that good. Watch them play. They're not going to be that good next year. It's like, oh, yeah, but the talent. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, now they're down 9.5 to Utah Valley. And
if you're
now it's taking everything they got and to beat Vermont.
And if you're anywhere other than Rupp, you get beat by 10.
Yeah. And you can turn around and go and you can turn around and say, ah, but you was down to George Mason in the second. Yeah, but you know, we don't have 14 All Americans. So we only say. Oh, you mean we're better? Is that what you're trying to say?
Are you right? Are you just, you know, being straight forthcoming?
I didn't mean, even
with your governmental corporate style takeover, we're still going
to
be better.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you tried to take us down from the government, and you're still going to.
You used every human connection you have from the FBI on down.
You got two losses coming to us, huh? Three, because have you seen the women's team?
Have you seen the women's team? People, in all seriousness, you better get your red. I don't know who sponsors our show, but actually our Made for the Ville clothing line will be here very soon.
Yeah.
And you can get all your Made for the Ville garb here very, 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 very soon. Point being, people. Yeah.
But yes.
Virginia, I'm done with.
100%.
I'm done. Listen, you go tell them I said it. They're bad people. Everybody who went to Virginia, they're bad people.
That's fair.
I could tell. I could tell those three ladies represent the entire university. From start to finish. I the people that came before them made them the way they are. And it's a fact. I saw it with my own two eyes. They asked me, what's your name?
Yeah.
You're sitting in. How bold do you have to be, Steve, to be sitting in seats that are clearly labeled Marcus Maben, Stephen Rummage. And a guy comes up and says, I hope it's room for me in my seat. And they say, what's your name?
They're just checking. That's all I'm saying.
That's the problem. You're checking when you should be just moving.
They're making sure. Speaking of, since we're talking about the girls and stuff, we do need to give a quick shout out because it's our guy. Damian Lee got engaged. Kudos to him.
Big shout out to the to the little homie Damian Lee.
Yeah.
Just got engaged. Steve, let's just be comfortable about this. Was there any way he was not going to get married to that woman?
I mean, I would have already been married. They've been for a while. They've met. It's good. People know. It's Steph Curry's little sister. Yeah. He's doing his thing.
What took you so long, boy?
What do you think, man?
Congratulations. No, yes.
I do want to get that out there for the Louisville basketball team.
Oh, let's get back into the basketball talk. Yeah. Okay, people, now it's time. 8150, 93.9 is the number. We've walked you through all the things that excite you. Coach Mark Beckham was at an event this weekend. I'm going to talk about that at the end of the show. Give a shout out to the women's tennis coach. He out there working for a cause, and that's a later on story. But let's just do this. We went to a basketball game, Steve. We saw a new coach on the sideline. We saw a team play a tough, tough, tough George Mason team. Am I allowed to start off by saying that without sounding like I am lowering the bar or something? Is that okay, Steve?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable moving forward with the show of me saying, hey, the George Mason team was tough?
Yes.
They've been tough. When you have Cinderella stories, you always look out for George Mason.
Yeah.
I mean, Atlantic 10 George Mason, who has a game under their belt, George Mason.
Yeah, that's fair.
You get to your game and you don't have traditional crowd arrogance. We're talking to our marketeer extraordinaire, Nate Huber, and he says, man, it was different in there. It was a vibe in there, right? And he thought it was, you know, like, I'm not going to speak for him, but he kind of thought the vibe was a little unnerving, right? And I loved it, people. When I tell you, the vibe at the game was nervousness, was excitement, was what is our team going to look like? What are we going to do against real competition? And I'm telling you, I loved it. Like, yeah. I loved the fact that I was nervous. I loved the fact that I wouldn't see a team just wear down the opponent.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying that it's like in a very begrudging way or anything like that. But people, you've seen the first 10 games of a Rick Pitino schedule outside the one tournament, you know, the New York Invitational, you know, whatever. You've seen games against supposedly inferior competition. And you've watched a sloppy offense and a team just wear down an opponent and then pull away at the end with a couple of big plays. The crowd wills them at about the 13-minute mark, wills them to a 10-point lead, a 12, 15-point lead, and the opponent ends up either cutting it to 9 and then it ends up at 12, 13, or you end up blowing them out. But we seen this movie year after year after year, and you knew it was coming like clockwork every year.
Right.
Not this year.
Yeah.
Everyone in that crowd was nervous on every bucket. Steve, 2 or 3 possessions, it's 8-11. Louisville inbounds the ball, and you can just hear the crowd like, come on, you know, like urging. I'm telling you, earlier on in the show, people, I talked about the attendance of the fans and having a few less fans for more enthusiastic ones. All the enthusiasm was back.
Right.
Big time.
I think that's fair.
So you get to the game. Keep in mind, I know you think I lowered the bar by saying a tough George Mason team. They're in their second game. You know what else you had, Steve? A 32-year-old head coach who just took the job a month ago. Right?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to lower the bar about that a little bit?
No, you absolutely should be. Right. People act like
we're not allowed to do that.
Like you don't have, I mean,
what were you doing at 32 years old, judgmental fan guy? You know? Like, what were you doing? Like, could you run an entire program, a top 10, 15 program, even if they had turned over whatever profession you're in, if the president of that business just tossed you the keys when they say, oh, I'm going down there, Ruby, here you go. No, not I'm going by, but I'm getting arrested. Here you go. Take over.
Right.
Nobody at 32 years old could take on this responsibility and have handled it any better so far.
No, I think that's one thing.
Thankfully, you got Kenny Klein over there. But
that goes without saying. I mean, but I think that's a thing, man. I mean, you can't just act like losing. While there are things like, and I don't want to get too far off on this, but while there are things like Darius Perry throwing that full court bounce pass and it getting stolen, the kid don't see the floor again under Rick. He done.
Say that again, Steve, because that's a fact.
Like that bounce pass Darius Perry threw almost three quarters court wasn't a good pass, but he's a superstar player.
It was the perfect idea. Yeah. And you know what happened? He got nervous.
Yeah,
he got nervous and he pulled his hand back a little bit
right.
when he was going to make that long
when distance. It was there.
Yeah, it was totally
because
there.
He threw it, and I remember going out loud. I was like, oh, good. I mean, because it
when
was
when he
there,
cocked back, yeah.
But it was like, but he
too much backspin, just a little off.
That kid doesn't play again. Whereas he then in that same
series,
5 minutes.
Yep.
Goes on, sparks a run with, I think, two steals, had
with
a layup,
defense.
I hit a three, got the ball to somebody else. Yeah,
I sat down on that front row telling everybody that would listen, watch the defense of everybody. Steven, I'm getting tired of getting on this microphone and doing these pregame shows and telling you the defense of Darius Perry and Ray Spalding is going to be all the difference in the game. And then you go out and watch the game and you say, oh, Ray Spalding didn't have a great... If you watch him on defense, he's a nightmare. He's going to be first team all defense, guaranteed. He's out there knocking the ball out of people. He's stripping point guards. He's getting the rebounds. I'm telling you, people, he's blooming. Ray Spalding is blooming. But back to the original point.
Yeah.
Darius Perry never sees the floor again after that bounce pass underneath Coach Patino.
Right. So as many things.
And you know that's a fact, everybody.
But as many things I can point out like that is, hey, that's a good change. You still can't ignore the fact that David Padgett's not Rick Pitino.
Right. Right.
There is going to be some sort of I don't even want to say drop off because
it's an exchange.
But there's yes, there's an exchange there that's going to take. I mean, did you hear David? I mean, you listen to David Padgett after the game, and he's just talking like, you can tell he's kind of excited. Like, I mean, he just got his win. He's like, man. I mean, I'm not totally, but I mean,
David Padgett mode.
Yeah, you can hear him just totally like, man.
And he
like,
wasn't was overwhelmed. Like, it was fun.
You know, I was talking to the officials, and I didn't know whether to yell, so I kept calm because I'm not gonna. You know,
he was awesome. He was explaining to you how mindful he was of Bob Valvano. You know,
yes.
and the people sitting about Paul Rodgers, like the people sitting down front. You know, I know I'm tall. I got to worry about them. I got to worry about my defense. We're 1-for-10 at halftime. Hey, people, the law of averages are going to pan out. We knocked down all those good shots. People, a 32-year-old coach, David Padgett, made all the perfect substitutions in a game. If that's not worth an A+, no matter what the score is,
yeah.
Then you have something out for either basketball or David Padgett. He coached like a 20-year veteran with his substitutions,
yep.
with his, okay, when's a guy pressing? And when V.J. King loses the ball, he goes down, he takes a bad shot. He loses his man on a switch. Whoop, you get the hook. You get the hook.
Yeah.
When you bring Darius Perry in for Giannis, it looks funny.
Yeah.
Think about that, people. You bring Darius Perry in there for Giannis Mahmood.
Yeah.
It looks funny, but it's like, ooh, that's a good look.
Yeah.
Now you got Ray Spalding at the five, you know. Now you got a nice, quick lineup. We didn't get to see our entire thing out of Dwayne Sutton because he got in foul trouble early. Go back to the people. Go back to the podcast. Go back to our pregame podcast and listen to Steve and I break it down. We're tired of giving you the future. Let me go to this phone line. Jerry, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
What a great weekend of Cardinal sports. It was awesome.
Yeah. And
I tell you, I don't know how this season's going to end, but man, it's going to be a fun ride watching this basketball team. And I just like to congratulate Coach Padgett. And I got one question, Marcus. How are they going to be able to keep Darius Perry out of the starting lineup after yesterday? Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. And you know what it is? Humility. The humility of Darius Perry is going to... Because here's the problem.
Well, I don't know if he needs to start.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Darius Perry does not need to start, because if you listen to him in the postgame, if you listen to his comments after the game, he says, I relish the opportunity to come in and lock down the best player on the team.
Yeah.
He gets to sit there, fill out what's going on. There's absolutely no pressure on him coming off the bench. Not to mention, you cannot put him in over VJ King, because VJ King will go crazy. And not VJ King, like, not like we're saying he's emotionally, you know, weak or anything, but what I'm saying is VJ has probably put in more work.
I don't think setting VJ right now is the answer.
Right, right.
Out of the starting
right.
team. I mean, this he said a lot during the game.
This is a work yeah. through it. But when you sit during the game, it's easy because you can go in there and talk to Coach Patrick. You know how Coach Pitino, he airs out this dirty laundry all the time. He says, VJ came to the office and said he didn't get playing time. And I say, okay, well, son, let's sit down and let's look at your game tape. Okay, turnover, fourth shot. You turn over. Okay, you don't take this shot and we get a 3-second violation.
Yeah.
I can't put you there. You know, you have one rebound. You have one rebound.
Yeah.
And then you turn the ball over when you got the rebound.
Yeah.
Like you know, he's pressing. But he's practicing.
I think
hard.
It needs to be said too. After the game, they asked VJ about it, and VJ was very like, I mean, he said the right things.
Right.
So he said, "Look, we got the win. That's what Coach felt
right,
like we
needed." Right. So. Right. But you get a humility out of Darius Perry.
No, I agree.
Malik Williams looked like he was just ready to come in there and contribute whatever he could.
What did this say to you about Malik Williams? And I don't know if you were. I don't know if we got to talk about this. It's an obvious situation where they're going to foul.
Right.
They throw the ball up court to Malik Williams. He can easily, he's got plenty of time to pass it, and he holds it and makes them come and foul him. He goes up to the free throw line. He knocks his first one down. Guy on the free throw line says something to him. He looks at him, gives him a grin, gets the ball back, laughs, hits the second one.
People.
He wanted that.
When you have a 6'10", eighth man off the bench, who can hit clutch free throws in his first game in college.
And hadn't really played.
And was ice cold, right? When you have that on your eighth spot on the bench and a new coach who doesn't have to break his players before he plays his players. Because, I mean, I'm not being disparaging toward Coach Pitino, but we just know that's what he does. He kind of brings out the humility before he even gives anybody much of a chance. He's harsh on freshmen. You have a David Padgett who says that guy can handle this moment. Get him in here right now. That's what I'm saying. A 32-year-old made every perfect substitution. Give that man an A+ before you even talk about what happened in the game. Got to go to the phone lines. Philly Carl, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
This should be fun.
Man, first of all, I think what happens, I realize that Rummage, we don't talk about age on the show, but I don't think he's old enough, because I don't think he, like, really actually watched you play. He might have seen some old tape, but watched you play, because when he keep putting these guys in front of you, so, yeah, you know I mean, so.
Oh, he does it way too easy, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's way too easy. But then, too, man, then I had to think about the person. You're not going to let him sit in there. And as much as he come in there and talk about the Cowboys, the way that they get shellacked. I'm talking about every time they lose, they get punished. I'm talking about just beat down punished. And I don't want to hear that Zeke didn't play, because Zeke played when Denver punished them. Zeke played when the Rams beat them. They get punished every time they play, and you're not going to let sit in there and not give it to them, because the Cowboys are who we thought they were, and we're going to punish them again this Sunday. I'm out.
Steve?
That was tough to hear.
And why was it so tough, Steve?
Because I'm going to use that soundbite on Monday when the Cowboys smacked the Eagles, dude. Come on, man. Look, that was their first game without.
Oh,
and by the way, let me say this.
Are we going to do this?
The offensive line played like absolute crap. I remember you being like, oh, you just throw anybody back there. You can throw anybody back there on that run for 400 yards. Well, that's not the case.
People,
obviously.
This is a lesson in deflection, what's going on right now.
This is all your fault. Cowboys lost this weekend because of you.
Steve.
They're not going to beat the Eagles. They're not going to beat anybody.
They're done. Don't do that fake humility, Steve.
They're done.
You know what, Steve? It's funny because I had plans on. Look, turn around. Look, you see what's on the screen. People, I had plans. Yeah. I had plans on playing a little bit of Stephen A. Smith, just as a bit of retribution for Steve's tweet and lack of respect for my record-setting freshman year. I chose not to. Philly Carl, this is what kind of guy I am. Quick commercial break midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. We have to give a very special shout out. We have to give a shout out for those of you who came with us on a Sunday for the pregame show. The energy on the pregame show is back, people. You, if you're riding in your car, if you're sitting at home, you know how to get in contact with us. You know how to get to the apps. You know how to join us for the pregame. Can you imagine how much fun this year's pregame show is going to be?
Goodness.
And this is just the show part.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, because we did the first one, and looks like maybe a lot more at the Aloft Hotel. I mean, it was incredible. It was right on the corner of First Street
East Main. Yep.
Yeah, right there on the corner. And the place we do it for, I mean, do it in, I mean, there's such an amazing, it was one of the nicest hotels I've ever been in all seriousness. My wife's talked about it a lot. So, hey, we need to stay there. She loves that contemporary look. But right where we're at, I mean, they have multiple TVs all over the place. They got a fully stocked bar.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
And when I say stocked, people, I mean, when Steve says stocked, he doesn't really appreciate what kind of bar this place has.
It was incredible.
High back chairs. I mean, all comfortable seating. And it's open space, people. You will start joining us at Aloft Hotel. If you park anywhere downtown, if you're there any time before the game, you will go by with us. I mean, granted, provided everything works out, you will join us for our pregame. We're going to be at somewhere downtown, very close to the stadium, because we have to get to our seats.
We left the show around 15 minutes. Yeah, around 50.
We went off air at 45 and was out of the door in 50.
Yeah, we were in our seats before the national anthem.
Right.
I mean that's how close it is. And a place where we can all come together, we can congregate, we can all hang out. We'll be doing the pregame show. We'll get a speaker. You'll be able to hear the pregame show. We'll be having a good time. And we want you guys to join us. I mean, to come out and let's make this kind of a home game pre-get-together.
People, this is the place. And let's do this. Jill Blessinger.
Yeah.
And Becky Bleemel.
Yeah.
They are going to be your new realtors. We are getting their commercial up.
Oh, yeah.
But before we move one step further, you know these names. You remember these names. If you're going to look for a home, close a home, see a home.
Yeah.
Jill Blessinger, with a name like Blessing, like, goodness gracious, she's
perfect.
She's such a help for us.
Yeah.
Jill Absolutely. Blessinger. Becky Bleemel, they will help you with all your real estate needs moving forward. Yeah. So we just had to definitely give our special thanks, you know, to that relationship, that brewing partnership that we have.
And we'll be promoting that throughout the week because we do got a game Friday night.
We do have a game Friday night, and it's going to be very, very, very exciting. So Steve, I feel like we were just getting started in a little bit of the basketball talk. Are there any takeaways? 8150, 93.9 is the number. 3831, 93.9 is the text line. Are there any like takeaways that stood out? I mean, even if you want to take a second to be a little negative about something, is there something that just you need to see cleaned up between last night and Friday moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, of course, I think there is. I think there's a couple times we get beat off the bounce. That was a little bit certain ones. I think as
you
a
mean certain
bit.
Possessions or
no certain people. I think get beat off the bounce fairly easy. And I'm not saying that's like subliminally like trying to like right. Oh, I'm talking about this guy. I just mean there's certain guys in certain positions that will get beat off the bounce and that hurts. They got good shots. We know they can hit them. I mean, maybe Sunday they just shots weren't falling. I mean, you know they can hit those shots. It's not one of those things where I was shocked to see a drought. I was shocked by that. I mean that was something I didn't think we would see, and I hope to not see that much more.
The offensive drought.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just approach that. You admit right now, 81-50, 93-9, 38-31, 93-9. You admit right now that drought we saw last night, and I said this at the game, the defense would have been better during the drought.
Yep.
The drought would have lasted longer.
Probably would have lasted longer.
Did you hear what we just said, people? There was an offensive drought, and I just told you, under Rick Pitino, that drought would have lasted longer.
Difference is they may have not scored.
Right. As well. Right. I mean, it might have stayed at 8-11, or we might have been up 11-8.
Right.
That's the only difference. We're up 11-8, and that drought lasts 10 minutes. Right? And nobody bats an eyelash because you know Rick Pitino's looming, you know, personality eventually wears down on an opponent.
Right.
But as far as pure scoring, like, this team gets out of that Michigan game last year with the win.
Yeah.
I'm just jumping off cliffs and seeing how many times you're going to jump with me.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. There's going to be a lot different. There's going to be a lot. And again, these first four games.
To me, conditioning and attention to detail on defensive scout reports is the difference in these two teams.
I just, yeah, and again.
That's what you lose out of Rick Pitino.
I think the willingness to play Jordan Nwora and Darius Perry and guys like that.
That's huge.
I think that to me is even the bigger
you
difference.
You know what, too?
Because like, these guys are in some sort of shape.
Yeah, right. I mean, like I'm just saying, yeah, not the supreme.
We're not making them out to be an out-of-shape team.
Speaking of shape, do it right now, Steve. I'm not letting you go one step further without talking about the improvement of Quentin Snyder.
Yeah.
I probably should be the one to take that charge. But people, if you didn't see the game, if you go back and look at it on the ACC network, Quentin Snyder pushes the ball up the court confidently. He's showing you, just like I told you on the pregame show, that will be starting an hour and a half before every game, you know, so you need to be there with us. I tell you before the game, watch Quentin Snyder show off his new speed.
Oh, man.
Watch him show off his defense. Like I said, Quentin Snyder missed 8 shots and you didn't even notice.
No, because
they were all good shots.
I tweeted something down the stretch there. I said, look, I'm pumped about the freshmen are balling, but Louisville needs what Quentin Snyder's bringing to the table right now. And right. The things he was doing that had to be there. I mean, he looks excellent. I mean, so kudos to him, man. I mean, the work he put in is showing off. And you're seeing it. And even a guy like Dingadale, he can get frustrating at times, but when the game comes down, I mean, he hits big shots. He gets to the bucket.
And he has that mentality that we were looking for. But the mentality without the fear of being taken out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you ride him. I mean, and that's something we seen the other night, and that was impressive too.
Quinn Snyder, we covered. Yeah. Darius Perry, to me, that was a given. I'm cheating him out of you know this is the time, people.
Yeah,
I'm cheating Darius Perry out of his props because he's good. Dwayne Sutton, no problems at all. You got two quick cheapies playing aggressive, no problem at all with me. Right?
Right.
Honest. We need the buckets, but we got a couple of buckets. We got a couple of easy shots that you don't get. We need offensive rebounding to take a huge step up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
P, People, you know, going into the season, I made a promise. I promised to you, I promised not to do something. I lied.
Right.
I lied. I didn't lie on purpose, but I lied to you.
Right.
If you believe what you say when you're saying it, is it a lie still? I promised you that I would not compliment Ray Spalding. I told you that I was going to raise the bar to an astronomical number. Ray Spalding is the defensive player of the year. He may be the MVP of this team by season's end. Ray Spalding is a taller Sean Marion with a better looking shot.
I wasn't as down on him as apparently a lot of people were.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he was 1-for-6. I think if you go straight to that.
You have to take the opening three-pointer.
Foul 2 or 3 times.
Listen, two or three. Oh, yeah. Oh, the refs had it out for him.
I'm just talking about on the field goal attempt.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah, no, there was okay. More. Ray Spalding, when they rotate the ball, he has to take that first wide-open three-pointer from the top of the key, so that's respected. So that's almost like a giveaway shot, right? He misses one great look up close. He gets robbed of two post-position plays where he gets the ball, spin move, dunks it fast, hard, vicious, aggressive, everything I needed from my baby Ray. Right?
Yeah.
Referees blew off both possessions, right? Yeah. He's in position to get these rebounds. When people are holding the ball in their hands and he smacks it out and the ball goes flying up in the air, he snatches the ball, passes up the court. That's LeBron-esque, like, domination on defensive side.
He terrorized that little point guard.
Right.
Like, that point guard's going to have nightmares about Ray.
A 5'6 point guard tries to cross Ray Spalding. 6'10 Ray Spalding. He doesn't move, picks his pocket.
Throws it up court.
Like nobody's business. Yep. Right? Like, if you go back and watch that tape, Ray Spalding, that was the most dominant 1-for-6 game you're going to find.
I agree.
And while I'm talking about my baby Ray that I promised not to talk about this year, he's fouling out in a opener against George Mason.
Right.
While you want to negatively, no, he's bringing it. He's bringing it with energy. Everything we were asking for out of Ray Spalding his entire life, right? He even misses a dunk. He catches the ball. What do you people say? Ray just needs to dunk that every time. He reached out. If he dunks that ball, which was centimeters away from not going in, he dunks that ball from the distance from which he jumped vertical to dunk that ball. I'm telling you, scouts are putting his name right there on that list. Anybody that can do what he did defensively, anybody who can clean out rebounds like he did, guard anybody on the court and wants to prove that he can lock anybody down, I'm telling you, man.
I mean, we're even getting a couple tweets. It's real negative towards Ray. I seen it on text. I mean, I seen it on Twitter the other day. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'll listen to your argument, but I just didn't see it.
Okay, we'll just go to this one. Are we talking about the same Ray? Fouled out. I think we just covered that.
Yeah.
When you get 3 and 4 steals in a game, when you cause 5 turnovers on your opponent, right? 6 rebounds, you know, you drawing fouls, right?
Yeah.
You're having a rough game offensively.
And 2 of those fouls, when you want to jump on him about fouling out, we were all in the same crowd. 2 of those where we went, what?
And
what kind of call was that?
I bet. When David Padgett takes a personal vendetta against a referee saying, hey, he has to get that call.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's fair.
He fouls out in an aggressive way. Got a 3-point shot hit in his eye, right?
Yeah, see, now that one. I don't go with that one.
You kidding me?
You could literally pick everybody on the court and say that happened.
Ray Spalding goes from help side because he has to be around the defense. He goes out to challenging a man deep in the 3-point. If somebody hits that shot, like, don't you know basketball? Like, that's going to happen. Think about this. Their criticism of Ray was fouled out for being too aggressive.
Yeah.
He gets a shot in a 1-3-pointer shot in his eye, a turnover that he gets fouled on. jump ball when he had the ball. Somebody tied up a basketball off a rebound that he got. And that's your definition of saying Ray Spalding had a bad game. That's the person who's determined to just hate on Ray Spalding.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I don't think Ray was perfect, but I just wasn't as down on him as a lot of people were. I just don't think.
Again, you can calm, you can tighten up things, but that energy level with the rebounding and defense, that changes the whole composition of your team.
Yeah.
It's a different game.
No, I agree. I agree 100%, man.
I'm sorry. See, if I had to do that. Like, I waited. I had to do that.
I can't believe we went a whole show and you didn't. Now the music's playing out and you didn't even let me get hype about the turnover chain in one of the greatest environments I think I've ever seen. How good was that, man? I mean, that they got something going. And I'm excited because I think Louisville and Miami parallel each other a lot.
Thank you so much for having me at the Refuse to Lose golf outing. Thank you, Jill, again. Thank you. The tournament was put together. Again, Mark Beckham's out there. Great, great, great charity. Proud to be a part of it. People, restarting futures. Restart your life. 75-day program. Greg and Erica Morris, give them a call. DFHcompany.com. Ask about the Mitsubishi split from Mitsubishi Electric. Who else we got to thank, Steve?
We're thanking everybody.
Louisville FC, get out there tonight.
Yep.
Congratulations, women's basketball. Great performance. You got us.
I'm in.
We're in. We are 100% in. I'm sure I'm forgetting one other person.
Thank you.
93.9 The Ville!